for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Everybody say Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
And power.
Power.
Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, if we're going to take any kind of an example, because a lot of people look at other people, other men of God, and try to mimic or be what they are. And I can tell you right now, the best example that we can follow is Jesus. I said the best example we can follow is Jesus. Because you see, I found out over the years that man does fail. But Jesus never does. Man lets you down, but Jesus never does. And everything Jesus did was perfect and it was right. Are you listening to me? Because he did what the Father wanted him to do. Man can get sidetracked on certain things, but God, Jesus never got sidetracked on anything. And I look at that scripture and think, if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, then God needs to anoint us with the Holy Ghost and with power. Because whatever Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also. And greater works. Imagine that's coming from Jesus. The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works. So if we're going to do the works that Jesus did, just the works that Jesus did, we're going to have the same Holy Ghost and the same power. Hello? Then he said greater works. See, we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, Pastor Vicky got up this morning just to greet the people. It was like old time Pentecost for me. Because when ministers get up that are full of the Holy Ghost just to greet people, then it could be a greeting of 20 minutes. But it's 20 minutes inspired by the Holy Ghost. Hello. See, and Pastor Bob up here on the platform, I mean, he was happy with what everything was going on because that's what he's all about. Are you listening to me? He's all about the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost jumps up and takes over, then, you know, you as a minister, you just stand back and let the Holy Ghost do whatever he wants to do. Amen. But she said something to me. She said, you ain't seen nothing yet. I believe I ain't seen nothing yet. I don't believe any one of us have seen anything yet. I believe what we've seen over the years is just a little taste of what is to come. Just a little glimpse of his glory. We've only seen just little bits and pieces. But I believe in these last days, we're going to walk in such a fullness. We are carriers of the Holy Ghost. We are carriers of the power. And everywhere we go, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen. Are you listening to me? We will see revival in a Walmart. The only action that you ever see in a Walmart is on Black Friday when crazy people get in there and start fighting with one another. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to see the glory of God manifest in Walmart. We're going to see the glory of God manifest in Target. Hello. And when the glory of God manifests in Target, let me tell you what, there will be no switching up of the bathrooms. Because there'll come such a conviction on that dude that's going into the woman's bathroom that he'll go into the dude's bathroom. Are you listening to me? Hello. I'm telling you right now, sin's going to take a back seat in these last days. Sin is going to take a back seat to the glory and the presence and the power of God Almighty. Whew, I feel that, my God. Let me tell you something. We carriers of the Holy Spirit and carriers of the anointing. When we walk into a place, sin should diminish. People shouldn't want to cuss around about you. I don't have anybody, you know, we meet people out there in the world. I don't have anybody trying to tell me dirty jokes. Oh, you listen to me. Hey, preacher, I've got a dirty joke. No, they don't tell me that. Why? Because they're convicted. There's a conviction that's going on. Oh, you listen to me. They might be talking dirty before we walk in, but when we walk in, everything changes. The whole atmosphere shifts around. Hello? You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. People cuss and use the name of Jesus. My first thought is, and I'll tell them, hey, you know Jesus? Glory. Are we going to pray? Because I heard you calling on his name. I mean, do that. They'll shut right up. They'll go. Telling you right now, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Jesus wasn't ashamed of your sin when he went to the cross. He bore that on in the public realm. Are you listening to me? So we're carriers of the Holy Spirit. We're carriers of the power. And there's not a person in the house that God does not want to use. God wants to use everybody. It's called the army of God. God wants to raise up an army of believers that are filled with his Holy Spirit and filled with his power, carriers of the anointing, like Jesus. There's not a person in the house that God doesn't want to use. You say, what is it going to take for God to use me? Humble, hungry, desperation, change. Hello, these are all things that we have to go through so that God can use us. Why? Because God's looking to purify the vessel. I said, God's looking to purify the vessel. Is there anybody in the house that loves to bake or cook food or whatever? Anybody? All right, so let me throw this out at you. If you baked or cooked food and you've got some food in a container, it's in the refrigerator, and then you start a new day and you make some fresh food and that, do you take the container that is maybe sitting in there for 2 or 3 days, pull it out, and take this fresh food that you've got and put it into that container that already contains other food? Do you do that? Anybody? What do? You clean that container out, you wash it and clean it and sterilize it, and then you put the new food in there. Is that what you do? Why would God take his precious anointing and put it into a container that's filled with other stuff? Hello? Why would God put his precious anointing into a vessel that's already dirty with other stuff? See, one of the hardest things for us is change. Oh, you listen to me. We're creatures of habit. We like to do the same thing over and over. We expect to get different results, but we never do. And then the moment change comes, then we're all gone. Well, I just didn't like what that church was going. I didn't like the direction they were going in, praise God. Well, maybe you should have gone in their direction. Maybe you would have got set free. Hello? Listen, there's one person in this house that has stayed with this for 53 years. No matter what direction God put in his path, and that's Pastor Bob. Oh, you listen to me. Others have come and others have gone. And I will tell you something right now. It amazes me, really does, at how many people that are part of this ministry that have been here for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. That speaks volumes for you, Pastor Bob. Because if I know, listen, churches turn people over all the time. Oh, you listen to me. So for a minister to keep people around him for so many years, that shows you what kind of a man he is. Oh, you listen to me. And if anybody has ever left this church, it's not because of him. It's because somebody got a bad attitude or listened to some garbage that somebody spewed up. Hello. That's the only reason why people leave churches, is because they listen to what other people talk about, and all they spew out is garbage. And then you pick up their garbage and then you leave with them. Oh, you listen to me. But obviously he's been on the right track, because God's still in the house. He's still moving by his spirit. People are still being set free. People are being saved every meeting. So obviously he's got to be doing something right. I mean, I wasn't going there. I don't know where that came from, but it came and it's gone and it's said and we're done. Amen. The biggest thing that we have as believers is we listen to others and then pick up their offense. And we carry their offense. And here's what happens. See, okay, let me go back to the marriage. Let me talk about marriage for a moment. So here's a husband and wife. They're having issues. So the wife goes to her parents or her family or her friends and shares all about the husband, how bad he is and how bad this and he does this and he does that. And so her parents and family pick up the offense against the husband. Now suddenly there's a restoration between the husband and the wife, and they're happy. But guess what? The family hate him. Oh, you listen to me. The family hate him because they're still carrying the offense. That's what goes on in the church. Hello. You could be carrying an offense that somebody else told you about that's years old. You could be carrying that offense that might be from anywhere, any church, any congregation. Listen, you could be carrying that offense, which actually what it does is it holds you back from receiving everything that God has for you, because the vessel's contaminated with that offense. We have to let stuff go. Somewhere along the line, we have to let stuff go. We've got to allow God to come and set us completely free. Are you listening to me? You know, one of the biggest things in America right now is if you say something, no matter what it is, you're a racist. Oh, that's just a racist comment. Man, you don't even know what that means. Hello. Everybody says, oh, you're racist. Oh, you're racist. You don't even know what that means. Listen, I grew up in apartheid. Our country originated with that word, South Africa. We originated, we made that word apartheid. It's actually apartheid, which is actually an Afrikaans word. It's not even an English word. You're not even pronouncing it correctly. Hello. Oh, you got apartheid. No, it's not apartheid. But you see, we created it and we called it something. And because we called it something, then everybody in the world jumped on that whole thing. Oh, you listen to me. Listen, there's stuff going on like that all over the world. All over the world. So yes, what we do, we take on all these offenses and hey, yes, a little news flash. I wasn't going here, but I'm going to go here anyway. Here's a little newsflash. If you were born in America, you are an American. Now, some of you were left in the oven a little longer than others. But you're still an American. If you were born in Puerto Rico, you are Puerto Rican. If you were born in South Africa, you are a South African. Hello. But if you're born in America, you are an American. No matter what color your skin is, no matter what language you speak, if you're born in America, you are an American. Stop laying claim to something that you have no clue about. Hello. The African people in Africa are not like you. Oh, you listen to me. They're not like the American African people. They're not like you at all. I know. I come from that nation. I know what I'm talking about. See, so as long as we live with all this garbage going on, we're never going to accomplish what God wants us to do. Hello. Because we always got these things going on in our heads. Oh, you owe me this because you owe me that. And, you know, you took our land. Oh, come on, people, get over it. My God, Jesus, help us. That's why we need revival. God needs to come and shake us on the inside and change us. So we're not about color. We're not about race. We're about God. We've got to have revival in this nation, and it's got to start within us. Hello, I don't care what color your skin is. I love people. Oh, you listen to me. I don't look at one person and think one thing and then look at another. I just love people. I love people. And if Jesus was here, he'd do the same thing. Hello. Mackenzie, come here quickly. Let me tell you something. And the funny thing is this. Over the years, my wife and I, we've been accused of being racist. I mean, oh, you're just racist. Man, you have no clue what you're talking about. You have no clue what you're talking about. Come here, sweetheart. Come jump on this step over here. Why don't you come get on this step, and you can be a little taller like Dad. Okay. Oh, so let me tell you who this is. This is my baby girl. She's a Howard Brown. She's a Howard Brown. I'm gonna step up over here so they can see you too. So we adopted her when she was 6 months old. She's a Marshallese. You wanna get on the next step, honey? Okay. We adopted her when she was 6 months old. What an incredible blessing to our family. What an incredible blessing to our family. Now let me tell you what. When she was little, she started to talk and started to understand things. Oh, my sweetheart, I love you. I love you so much. Am I embarrassing you? No. Okay. So you know, our name is Howard Brown. That's our name. So this is Mackenzie Howard Brown, and my daughter's name is Jessica Howard Brown. So we all got the second last, you know, the last name with two words. And so my daughter said to my wife one day, she said, my name is Mackenzie Howard Brown, but Jessica, stand up there, Jay. Wave your hand, baby. This is my daughter. This is my other daughter. Wave your hand. All right, So she said to my wife, she said, my name is Mackenzie Howard Brown, but Jessica is Jessica Howard White. Because she said, she's white and I'm brown. It took our wind out of our sails. I mean, we started crying and we said, listen, honey, let me explain to you. We are not calling you brown because of the color of your skin. I'm brown, but I'm white. So don't let this confuse you. Are you listening to me? We're not calling you brown because you're brown. Now, she got it left in the oven just a little longer than Daddy did. But I mean, look, if I can get out, you know, let me pull one of my sleeves open here. If I can get out and, you know, get a little more sun on me, it'll help a little. Are you listening to me? But this is white, white, white. And there's nothing I can do about that. Hello. What you laughing at, honey? I'm going somewhere with all of this. So, but let me say this. I never look at her anything different than I look at my other kids. Are you listening to me? I never look at her anything different. I love her as much as I love my daughter. My other daughter, my son, I love them all equally. I don't love one more than the other. They're all different. They all got different personalities. Amen. But I love them. I look at them all equally. See, that's what God does for us. He looks at us. Jesus looks at us all equally. He doesn't look at you and think anything else but you are his child. He sees you as his child. Amen. You want to preach a little, honey? No? Okay. I love you so much.
Love you.
So listen, he sees us as we are. He sees us as we are. We should see ourselves as he sees us. It's got nothing to do with color. It's got to do with hunger. Oh, you listen to me. I'm hungry and thirsty for God. I'm desperate for him. It doesn't matter about the color of my skin. God doesn't bless me because I'm white. I know many whites that are not blessed. It's got nothing to do with the color of the skin. It's got to do with the hunger and the desperation that we have for God to come and touch us, to come and change us. Because listen to me carefully. We all have a heart. And we all have a spirit being. And the heart has to be changed. Every one of us have to have a heart change by the Holy Ghost so we can do some things for the kingdom. Are you listening to me? And I tell you what, I love churches where there's a whole mixture of people, because I think that shows me true love. Amen. It shows me true love. Because I can tell you right now, if this was his church, there'd be a whole mixture of people. Probably not as many people, because, you know, not many people would hang out with him. I mean, he only had 12 disciples, and some of them, you know, one of them hung themselves. He couldn't hang out too long. Or maybe he did hang out a little longer than others. I don't know. But listen, the bottom line is this. You know, people say, oh, if Jesus was here, wouldn't that be great? Probably not really, because you wouldn't hang out with him. Because he'd read your mail and he'd want you to change. Hello? See, for us to be doing what we're doing today, is it all came out of a desperation and a hunger. We cried out to God. God, I mean, listen, I've grown up in Pentecost. I know all about Pentecost. That's why I kind of make fun of the Pentecostal people, because I grew up in all that stuff. Are you listening to me? But growing up as a Pentecostal is not the criteria to move the hand of God. God doesn't move upon the Pentecostals because we Pentecostals. He moves upon us because we're hungry and desperate, and we cry out to God for him to come and touch us and change us on the inside. We humble ourselves. We yield ourselves to the Spirit of God to come and change us on the inside. That's why he does what he does. We could not be doing what we're doing today without the touch of heaven. Impossible. Impossible. I can only give you what I got. And if I don't got it, I can't give it. Hello. And there's so much more to this move of God than just joy. People think, you're just all about joy. I'm about the whole Word of God. That's what I'm about. Joy is just one manifestation of the Spirit that's going on in the house. But there's a whole lot more going on in the house than what you can imagine. Hello. And some of the stuff we never address, and some of the stuff we don't even know about. But there's marriages being healed in the meetings. There's sickness being taken out of people's body. I'm telling you right now, there's an anointing in the house that destroys the yoke of bondage. No matter what the yoke is, and people are getting set free. Wow, these are laughing meetings. No, they're changing meetings. Now, you get some joy. Yeah, praise God. We all get some joy. It's a good thing. Hello. It's a good thing. You know, when I minister over here, I put a video on Facebook the other night, and, you know, people got up and then commented, and, you know, I probably open myself up to a can of worms when I do that, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. But somebody locally commented, you know, if you've got joy, then why don't you display it? Now, I know the family, she's probably coming from a position of hurt. So she decided to, you know, lash out at that. And that's okay. You see, I can't walk around being passionate about my ministry and preaching the things of God man, how much are we actually going to get done? I just look like this because I'm passionate about what I'm talking about. If you were here this morning and you watched Pastor Vicky, she looked pretty intense. I mean, I stood there on the front row and went, yeah. Why? Because she's passionate about what she was sharing by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? If I walked around flopping on the floor, rolling around, laughing uncontrollably all the time, how much am I actually going to get out here? Amen. We've got to change, people. We've got to change. We've got to allow God to come change us on the inside. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're sitting one night, my wife and I, we're sitting one night counseling some people over their marriage. And I'm over here, my wife's here, and the other wife and the husband over there. And so my wife, she's speaking into the marriage. And so the man on the other side of the desk, he goes, he's freaked out. He's like, slow down, you're scaring me. So I'm like, what do you mean she's scaring you? Oh, she just looks so intense. I said, because she wants to get your marriage sorted out. That's why she's intense. So, you know, the rest of the counseling session, I'd nudge her and say, honey, don't scare the people. Honey, don't scare the people. But, you know, sometime along the way, you've got to be intense about something. Yes, you do. Amen. Right. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you've got to go with the flow of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to walk around, you know, and try to talk between that. If that's not what the Holy Ghost is doing on the inside of me, are you listening to me? Because I ain't when the fire of God's hitting me. Come on now. I'm happy. I'm happy, Facebook. I'm happy. Now, don't go onto my Facebook page and go look at the video and look for the comment, which is about 5 comments down, and find out who it was. Okay, don't do that, man, people. Come on. It's right on my Facebook right there, Basil Hart Brown. Please don't go there 5 comments down to look who the lady was that actually wrote the comment, okay? And please, whatever you do, don't make a comment back to her. Because I don't want to have a war on my page. Amen. Yeah, it's about 5 comments down. Okay. So, you might even know who that. Anyway, don't worry about it. Don't do it. Hey, I had an encounter back in the 90s. Back in South Africa, I had an encounter with God. It literally began a change on the inside of me. But listen, you know, one encounter with God's not enough. One touch of heaven is just not enough. It's an ongoing process. That's what it is. People say, well, I've been in those meetings before and I got some joy. Well, there's a whole lot more that you could have got. How about some change? How about some fire? That'd be a good thing to get, fire. See, I got some fire back in 93, and when I got that fire, it ignited something on the inside of me, and I can't stop doing what I'm doing. Hello? I said, I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I'm happy. God's gonna get you. Who are you pointing at? Huh? See, we all happy. There's nothing like coming to church on a Sunday night and getting drunk, especially when it's free. It's on the house. You can drink as much as you want. Don't kill him, Lord, just bless him. And the wonderful thing about these meetings, you actually don't have to pray about anything. You just got to receive. It's like when you go and sit down at a buffet. You just partake. That's what we do in the house. We partake. We don't have to pray, oh, God, touch me, God, touch me. Just drink. Have a drink. Let some joy bubble out of your belly. Let the fire of God, let the anointing jump all over you. God, please touch me. God, please touch me. God, please touch me. I'm hungry. Oh, God, please touch me. Shut up. Let him. Just drink. You can't get around God and be conservative and have it all together. Hello. You stick your finger in an electric light socket, you are going to feel something running through you. You get plugged into the electric light socket of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to feel something running through you. And you're not going to be able to keep quiet. Ha ha ha! And why there's some of these people acting like they're acting is because they're just getting plugged in. That's what's happening. They're getting plugged in. That's how intense she can get. Ho! I've got to go after those that I know that won't be here Wednesday night. I mean, I'm sure she goes back home tomorrow. Because I'm sure her husband must be missing her. And husband, if you're watching, she's here. Drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost.
Go back full. Go back full.
She's coming back drunk. She's coming back filled and saturated. She's coming back happy. Oh, happier. Oh, happiest. The mountain. Where's all the mountain people tonight? Wave your hand at me quickly. Are you also from the mountain? Anyone else from the mountain? Because this looks like a mountain, that just looks like a little hill over there. Oh, hallelujah. How are you doing, sister? Huh? You doing good? How are you doing? Oh. Bro, she ain't going nowhere. She ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I pray when you meet the governors and the senators and whoever you're meeting, I pray the fire of God come out of you, fall upon them. I pray that there's an immediate conviction upon these people, that they seek Jesus more than anything else. That's what I pray. I pray there be an impartation in you tonight. And when you go in those halls, that there's something happens around about you. People are drawn to you by the Spirit of God in a greater way than ever before. Amen. Let's see God shake up the government. Let's see the fire of God run through the government. Amen. Whether it be in Washington, D.C. or local government, we need the fire of God everywhere. Amen. I thank God that God's opened up doors for people just like this that can go in and minister God, minister Jesus, minister the anointing. Amen. We should get as many believers that are full of the Holy Ghost and get them plugged into the government and run for mayor and win it. And come on, I'm telling you now, we need that. We need people that are full of the Holy Ghost. In the ground roots, ground floor. Amen. In the cities and the counties. We need as many people in government as possible. Christians, believers. And I believe it's going to happen over the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Because I believe the sleeping giant has awoken. I said, I believe the sleeping giant has awoken. You poke on the bear and you poke on the bear and the bear will come out of hibernation. And that's what they've done to the church. They poked the church and poked the church, and now the church have come out of hibernation. We're not hibernating anymore. Come on now. We're going to take this land by force. And when I say by force, I mean by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. What happened to the pastor? He didn't come back tonight. You didn't invite him. Juan, why you don't invite him back? He'll be back. One roll on the floor on one of this piece of red carpet down here is not enough. Especially for a preacher. Preacher needs to cut his teeth on these carpets. Amen. Because when you do, you get up off the floor, you're totally different. You change. Those that have been coming over this period of time, how many have spent many hours on the floor over the last 6 months? Listen, you know your life has changed because of it. Amen. And it's like every time you get on the floor, God does something more and He does something more. And it's like He's building on what He's already done, the foundation that He's already put. And if you allow Him to, He'll change you completely. I said He'll change you completely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come here, both of you, quickly.